In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Before we look at this morning's Gospel, let me first ask what might seem to be a banal question. Why do we proclaim the Gospel? Why is it read?
To hear the words of Jesus.
To hear the words of the Lord. To hear His teaching. Why is it important for us to be attentive to hear these words?
So they might change us.
So that they might change us. These are living words. These are not just words that we might read in the newspaper or in some piece of literature. These are words of life. That's why we call this book that we bring out into the center of the church the Gospel. It is the good news. And the good news is that Jesus has come into our midst to give us new and eternal life. And that to have this new and eternal life, we have to be instructed by this word that is offered to us, that is offered to the universe. We are responsible for understanding this word, for embracing this word, for ingesting, for consuming this word. For before we can even draw near to the chalice, we are to participate in the communion, in the Eucharist of the word that is given to us for the life of the world and its salvation. Now in this morning's reading, Jesus is met by a man who asks an interesting question. What is the question?
How do I get eternal life?
What do I have to do to enter eternal life? What is wrong with this question?
Sounds like a transaction.
What is wrong with this question?
Like
now keep in mind, while you're thinking of an answer, that this man is coming to Jesus in good faith. St. Luke is following the sequence, often, of the Gospel according to St. Mark. And in St. Mark's Gospel, this account of the young man of the coming to Jesus, we know he's a young man because Matthew mentions he's a young man. This young man who comes to Jesus is loved by Jesus. Jesus looks upon him and loves him. So even though we don't hear about this in this morning's reading, keep that in mind, that this man has not come like the lawyer to tempt Jesus, to trap Jesus. He comes in good faith. Indeed, he wants to be taught by the teacher, by the good teacher. He wants to be taught, he wants to receive those words of life. So what is wrong with his question?
He thinks it's based on what he knows.
He thinks that salvation is based on what he does. He is kind of trapped. And keep in mind that this is chapter 18 of the Gospel according to St. Luke. Just a little before we get to this account of Jesus and the man asking about eternal life, we have the magnificent parable of the publican and the Pharisee. What do we know about the Pharisee? He does everything right. He does everything right, and yet, what is his relationship to God?
He doesn't have one.
There is no relationship to God. The one who does everything right has no relationship to God. Why? Because he trusts in himself and he trusts in a system of rules and regulations from which he thinks he earns, by following those rules and regulations, he earns the right relationship with God. But what do we know about this man? He is unable to love. He is unable to love the publican who is a sinner. The one who is a sinner acknowledges that sin, acknowledges his alienation from God. And yet at the same time, in acknowledging that reality of his life, He draws near to God. There's communion with God. Unlike the one who keeps all the rules, who leads the upstanding life, who follows the commandments, who tithes, who fasts, this man is unable to pray to God, is unable to see the man who is near him as one whom he is to love. And consequently, he is apart from God. This young man who comes to Jesus in this morning's reading has been brought up in a certain culture, in a certain milieu in which following the rules and regulations were perceived by many as establishing one's right relationship with God. He comes to Jesus and he poses this question. And keep in mind, Jesus is trying to lead this man to the light. He is trying to elevate this man to a new way of understanding himself in relationship to God and God's relationship to him. The man asks this question, and what does Jesus say?
Keep the commandments.
Keep the commandments, okay? So he's taking this man from commandment to someplace else. Where is that someplace else? What is Jesus trying to teach this man? What is he trying to teach us?
He says, sell all you have and follow me.
Sell all that you have and follow me. So before we sell everything. He said in Luke's gospel, it says, sell all, everything. Give away everything. But before we get to that, Jesus asks a question. The man asks the question, how can I obtain eternal life? What is Jesus' question to the man?
Why do you call me good?
Why do you call me good? And then what else is said?
No one is good but God.
No one is good but God. Is Jesus denying his divinity?
No.
Is he denying his sanctity?
No.
So what is he trying to do with this man? He's trying to show this man that if you call me good teacher, this is the core of new and eternal life. If you call me good, and Jesus will get to that in a moment, if you call me good, then I am the one who gives you life. I am the one who gives you salvation, not the law, not the fulfillment of the law. If that was the case, then I have no need to be in your midst. I am the one who gives you life. I am the one who gives you salvation. I am the one who brings you to God. I indeed am the good one. But in order for this man to see that Jesus is the good one, and that indeed he is not only man but God, what must this man do?
Give up everything.
Sell everything you have and give
to me.
Give to the poor and follow me. You will discover, says Jesus, that if you give everything you have away and follow me, then you will see that I am the good one, that I am God, that I am the one you are to put your trust in. Now we have to ask ourselves, in hearing this gospel, what is being said to us? Who today is going to leave the church and sell everything, give to the poor, and follow the Lord?
None of us?
I would dare to say none of us. None of us. So what is this gospel about? Chrysostom, in preaching on the Matthean account, says something very interesting. He uses a very interesting word. Riches are not the problem. The problem is when riches when possessions, and possessions do not necessarily have to be material, they can be intellectual, they can be familial, they can be social. Riches become a problem when they tyrannize us. Now, I asked you a question some months ago, what does tyranny mean? Who is the tyrant? What does the tyrant do? The tyrant, the tyrannos, usurps someone's position. He takes the place of someone. So the tyranny of riches is this, that they become what we put our trust in. Jesus says in the Gospel according to St. Matthew, where our treasure is, there is our heart. Where our treasure is, there's where we put our life. And getting back to the tyranny of riches, where we see that the riches, whether they're material, intellectual, social, familial, etc., when we put all our trust in these riches, who is usurped? God. God. So Jesus is telling this young man, and he's telling us, that the greatest treasure that is given to us, that is in our grasp, is himself. Now, how does this encounter between Jesus and this rich man end? Jesus says, sell all that you have. You want to be perfect? You want this new life? Sell all that you have, give to the poor, and come follow me. Then what? In Mark and also in Matthew, what does the man do after hearing these words? He goes away sad. In Luke's account, what does the young man do?
He becomes sad. He doesn't leave.
The key is, he doesn't leave. He has to make a decision. He is brought to a point of crisis. And what is crisis? What is a crisis?
An opportunity.
An opportunity. It's a time to make krisis. Krisios. What does it mean in Greek?
A judgment.
Time to make a judgment. Time to make a decision. And the same with us. We are here. I have not seen anyone turn away and go outside. We are brought to a point of crisis in hearing this morning's gospel. Who is the one that is our treasure? Or what is it that is our treasure? Hopefully it is the who, and the who is our God. The who is Christ. The who is the Savior. And keep in mind, many of us may not have material possessions, but there are other riches which get in the way of God, which I've spoken about before. Not the least being family. Family becomes an idol. Education becomes an idol. Self-love becomes an idol. Social status becomes an idol. Becomes that which we put our trust in. All of that becomes what we consider to give us life. And Christ is saying no. And that's why he says in no uncertain terms that we must leave mother, father, wife, children, family. Not that we abandon the ones we love, but that they do not usurp his place in life. And this is often difficult. It is often difficult because there is a tension that develops. But this tension is good. It is needed. For this tension gives birth to the true treasure, who is Christ. And when Christ assumes or resumes his proper place in our life, then we can truly love our families. We can serve mother, father, wife, children. We can use our intellectual gifts for the glory of God. We can use our social standing for the glory of God. Everything that is given to us can become an offering to God. And this is what is being presented to us today. We are brought to a point of crisis. And this is typical of St. Luke, because there is another part in this gospel where one is brought, it's not the only part, where one is brought to a point of crisis. And that's a few chapters earlier than this morning's reading. It is the parable of the prodigal son. The parable ends with the older son standing outside of the chamber where there is celebration for the return of the younger son. The older son has to make a decision to enter into that celebration, to embrace his brother, to rejoice with his father, or to remain outside, alone, separated from the ones whom he loves. So brothers and sisters, let us use this crisis wisely. We are given the opportunity to begin, even if it is only an intellectual movement, but hopefully that intellectual movement will lead to the movement of the heart and lead to the movement of our very beings, to allow whatever is central to our lives never to usurp place of Christ. And if there is something in our lives that has usurped the place of Christ, then we are to eliminate that and allow Christ to assume his rightful place, that indeed with him and the Father and the Spirit we can rejoice in the new life given to us now and forever.